10. The Root of All Evil. It was perhaps the most boring week Mr. Socrates ever had endured. He spent nearly every waking moment in his office, sifting through information brought to him by cook and footman, in the hope of gleaning some telling detail about the Clockwork Guild's location. Mrs. Finchley would bring him tea and meals, clearing the plates without his even noticing. Tharper would cajole him into a short constitutional to clear his mind. Data gathering was something Mr. Socrates had abhorred during his life in the military, but it was a necessary evil of his job. From data came conclusions, and from conclusions came action. A few months earlier, he'd have had his team of trusted ferrets, as he called the clerks who worked for him, sift through the newspapers and documents. Instead, he himself was reading shipping records, passenger lists, documents indicating market trends, even patent applications. He wanted to know the prices of metal and the places where it was being bought. Fools often said that money was the root of all evil, but Mr. Socrates knew better. It was metals. If there was anything that had driven the vital mechanization of war, it was metal. First for swords, then cannons, and finally, iron-hulled ships. He did stop to read the papers, the Montreal Gazette, the London Times, and the New York Post. There were the usual stories of terrible railway collisions, of political campaigns, political addresses to Republicans, even an article that graded butter. He paused over a story about bodies disappearing along the Pacific coast. If he'd had more agents, he might have pursued it. Most likely it was resurrection men selling the cadavers to medical establishments. There was so much to learn about the human body, and not enough dead bodies to go around. In time, a pattern began to emerge, and his boredom was replaced with excitement. A large purchase of metal from Ontario had been bought by several companies with Greek names. Did the Clockwork Guild not have a penchant for using Greek names? It was perhaps a reference to the past glory of that civilization. The metal had been shipped to an unknown destination in the Pacific. He worked even longer hours. He read accounts of metal leaving from Vancouver, from Seattle, and spotted evidence of a large shipment 3 years ago to a Chinese buyer in the Yellow Seas. That piqued his curiosity, for he knew that Hakondotir had once been employed by the Chinese triads, the pirates and brigands who fought both the Emperor and the British Empire. He'd dealt with many of them, Hakondotir included. He knew she'd not easily give up those ties. 16 years ago, he had met her in a sword fight on the deck of a 2-masted junk and severed her hand. At the time, he'd been pursuing the leader of a triad, someone known only as 489. It was a number from Chinese numerology that referred to the Dragon Master, the leader. Mr. Socrates had been reassigned to India, but his fellow servicemen had never discovered that triad leader. Why hadn't it occurred to him before? This 489 could have formed this guild. The organization did not have the pattern of a triad, it was something much larger, but it would take the same skill set to control. It was entirely possible. He remembered the junk, Hakondotti's ship that he had captured. It had been steam-powered, with an engine, the likes of which he'd never seen before. Was it all connected? Oh, Alan, you fool. Of course. Their nest is in the Pacific, as far away from British as possible. Now the only difficulty is to pinpoint exactly where they are. It became clear what he must do. It was a big world, but made smaller by train and steamship. He summoned cook and footman. By the time the two were standing before him, he was practically vibrating with anticipation. "I'm about to ask the two of you to charge full steam up a hill," Mr. Socrates said.
"I was hoping so, sir,"
cook said.
"I'm ready, willing, and able. Just point me in the right direction."
Footman only nodded in agreement, but Mr. Socrates was certain he saw excitement in the Chinese man's eyes.